number 17b.
So he gives in a fourfold way the reason why what happens if one takes in the Christ. And he put it like this first from the point of view of words. He says, he that cometh from heaven. And you see now the origin, huh? The word, from where does it come from? From heaven is above all. So the Father is above all. Then he takes the Christ in and says, and that Father, that God, gives, not the Spirit by measure. Can you see the Christ? Always when you have the translation from God to man, huh? You have the Christ message, and shows that he doesn't give it by measure. He gives it by abundance, by the superabundance, so that the Christ translation is always the superabundance of translating the divine principle, that is life, truth, and love, right down to the point of manifestation as idea. Then he shows that when he gives it not by measure, which means when he gives it full and plenty, that then comes the Christianity sense, namely the focal point of man. Then the Father gives to the Son all things into his hands, so that it's translated from the hands of God right down to the hands of every one, of the individual. That each one gets the fullness of the Christ translation, the fullness of the divine principle that operates as life, truth, and love. So it doesn't give it by measure, not just a little bit. One can just feel really what that translation from God to man really means, that it is going out from the fullness of the Word that is above everything, then the fullness of Christ that gives not by measure, always unlimited in abundance, and gives it to man right into the palm of his hand. Says, here you have it, here take it, use it, demonstrate it, you can have everything. And fourth, and he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Always the force comes in with being and says, if you use the Word, the Christ and Christianity, you will gain what? You always gain being, beingness. You always life everlasting. Yes, that's the third one. So let's see the flow of it up to this point of Word, Christ, Christianity. First we had that we start out with Nicodemus that tells us you have to give birth from a completely new standpoint. That which is from the flesh always remains flesh. You can't help it. But that which comes from the Spirit is spiritual. So give birth to your spiritual manhood, to your spiritual identity. Start out with God, that is Spirit, and don't start out with a material situation, with a material world, with a material man, with a material concept of God. Start out with Spirit. Spirit only brings forth that which is spiritual. Okay, so we have the origin, the basis. Then he goes to the Christ and says, if you take that basis and lift up your thought to the Son of Man that is already in heaven, and you see that your true identity is already intact in heaven, then you can see that that begins to demonstrate itself as the Christ. It descends up and it comes down, and only through the Son of Man that is sending brings about a new ascending. So that one sees there is a loop, so to say, of the first translation and the second translation, that they go parallel with each other, that only then when our consciousness descends through the Christ translation, that brings about a new creation. It takes away the false beliefs, takes away that the moral is the reality, and brings it right to the point of spiritual understanding of the ideas of God. This is always something that has puzzled our thought, that Mrs. Eddy has given these two translations, which are the Christ order, starting out with the Christ order, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, and ending interestingly enough, with the word order, with the third degree, which is the sevenfold word order, wisdom, mind, purity, spirit, spiritual understanding, soul, spiritual power, principle, love, as the, with a small L, life, then health, truth, and holiness, love. We would think that the Christ translation would bring about the Christianity sense. But the point is that according to how we look at the first translation, we either come back to the word order or we begin to see the standpoint of the Christianity order. That's a question mark. John takes first that sense that the Christ translation, the descending, brings about the ascending. That it is in the cybernetic law, the fulfillment of the Christ translation has a feedback already at that point to the Word. It can have a feedback at every point to the Word, which is very interesting, because what happens within our consciousness when we go through the Christ order, and I will go through the Christ order later on, that it translates really the divine principle to the point of each individual idea and shows that the universe is composed of ideas. The moment we touch ideas, then naturally in our thought there is the sense, well, what do ideas accomplish? And the moment we ask that question, then we ask for the ascent. What do they accomplish? Where do they lead us to? And we ask the question of what does it accomplish? And so it accomplishes really the sevenfold development of ascending thought from the first day to the seventh day. So that actually only through that translation we arrive first at the right idea. And with the right idea we can say how does that right idea unfold so that that right idea comes to the point of perfection and fulfillment and does fulfill for what the idea has come to us. So that's why he talks about that only through descending we really can ascend. If we try first to ascend, then we must have an angel thought. The angels ascend, which means it is on a much lower basis, on a much lower basis of the beginner that begins to see that there is something more than depravity and says to himself, actually, I think there is something more about it. I should lift up my thought. And so he begins to lift up his thought, and that's the ascending way. But when the right idea comes to us in a situation through the Christ translation, then naturally that right idea also blossoms out and sees that the right idea reflects every other idea. And so we have an ascending or an enlarging sense again, so that we start on a higher plane. It is very different. If I go through the Christ translation and I come to the Christ translation from the divine principle to the point where I see I have only to do with the manifestation of idea and then ask quite a different question, then I can ask now how big is that idea? Then that leads me to the Christianity order, because the Christianity order answers that question. How big is an idea? And so I lead it back to the synonymous term, and that is the Christianity order. I lead it back and say, that idea is as big as its origin, the divine principle. And therefore that idea is really the idea that roams in the realm of the divine mind. It's an idea. And that idea is exactly of the same nature and quality as soul, as God, and that soul. And therefore I see that this idea reflects every other idea, and I come to spirit. See, I go through the Christianity order, which you know, so that I begin to see if every, at the point of spirit, every idea reflects every other idea, then that means that every idea is father, mother, and son, or father, son, and mother to every idea in the universe. I begin to see that every idea fathers every other idea in the whole universe, that every idea sonships every other idea, affirms every idea, that every idea mothers every other idea in the universe. Therefore, mothers it, accepts it, welcomes it, and is cares for it, so that I have a family of ideas, so to say, life, our father, son, and mother as a family, and we call it usually the family law, where we see that every idea reflects life, truth, and love, reflects father, son, and mother, and therefore not so much that God is father, son, and mother to the universe, but in the Christianity I begin to see my consciousness reflects that, and therefore my consciousness has to express fatherhood to the universe, sonship to the universe, motherhood to the universe, and then I have really a universe of Christianity where all are one. Yes, well, that was actually a sideline because it's not here in the Gospel, but it shows that we have to be always aware of what we do, so that we are not got stuck just by the letter and say, well, in the scientific translation of immortal mind, that ends with the word order. It can end with the word order that leads us to the Christianity order. It only depends what kind of question we ask. And so you begin slowly to feel that there is a that the whole model of being must be properly understood, so that finally it becomes a flow chart for us, a flow chart for treatment, where we always are inspired by a new idea, and then we know what to do with that new idea that comes to us. That's going too far. Finally, at the fourth point, we see the wedding of the Word with the Christ. Now, this time it is not showing that if we wed the Word to the Christ that we increase, and that if we don't wed it to the Christ that we decrease. Now we come to the question, what is really necessary in order to understand really the wedding of the Word with the Christ? We come to the woman in Samaria, and you remember that the beginning of it is, in that incident, that the woman symbolizes Moses' law, the old law, because she went to the well of Jacob, to the Old Testament, to draw water. She didn't, again, water, as thinking, good thinking. And so when Jesus addressed her and began to investigate her consciousness in order to bring her consciousness to a point of chemicalization until she gave in, and finally at the end of seven questions she gave in and said, golly, yes, you are the Christ. First she resisted it and said, what are you talking to me on the well? You are not allowed as a man to talk to a woman who is alone. That was against the law of Moses. And Jesus then took up that thought, and you know, through the seven points you have in the epitome booklet, you have it, how step by step he could see that the Christ can enter dogma, can really take away the foundation of an old dogma and bring that woman to the point of letting go of the old dogma, letting go of belief and accepting understanding. She was the very first one that said, is this not the Christ? Isn't it wonderful how he shows that the Christ works so that the old sense of the word is left behind and is wedded really to the Christ, to the point where it says, is not this the Christ? And she left the water pots. She didn't take the water pots along. That's so typical. She left that word and said that word hasn't really done anything to us. But the Christ, that is that which does things to us, because she was impressed that Jesus could read her mind, that Jesus had the divine mind reading ability and not sticking to a dead dogma. So for us too, we can see so often we have to do in the family or with friends that they are just dumb towards Christian Science or towards the spiritual, and we think, well, that's an old belief, that's a woman of Samaria, she's quite happy just throwing water and water and water and just have a little bit of thinking and so on. One can't really give her an understanding of science or give to that person understanding. And so we have to be aware that if we begin to see that we don't have just to give them the words, just to talk to them about reality, about the reality of being, about God, but if we have within ourselves also the Christ and see the Christ is working and the Christ has the ability to overturn a false belief, to overturn an antiquated consciousness, and that is the Christ that is working in each one of them, so that each one has the Christ, no matter if he knows it or doesn't know. That woman in Samaria had the Christ in herself, but she didn't know that she had it at the beginning. So she said, "What have you to do with me? Get away. You do something against the law." But little by little, that Christ consciousness of Jesus was penetrating that dogmatic belief, and little by little, loosening that dogmatic belief, until finally she could say, "By golly, you are the Christ that was promised. You are the Messiah that was promised." Always we find here how the woman thought is so accepting and welcoming really the Christ idea, that it's usually the woman who is able to conceive of the Christ idea at first, and only then afterwards the man came running around and said, "Yes, you are right," just after the resurrection and so on. It was always the woman who saw for the resurrected Christ. Yes, so here we have that long discussion, which we don't want to repeat, but just to see how Jesus was able, through a method of mind reading, of divine mind reading. That's the Christ consciousness. What is divine mind reading? We'll touch on it a little bit later, but it may be quite nice to just clear up that term, because that woman in Samaria went back to the city and said, "You know, I found a man who could read my mind, who knew everything about me without that I told him. He knew that I had 5 husbands, and at the moment I don't have any husband, and the man I have now is not my husband." He knew everything, that man, you know. How could he know him? He never was in Samaria. So divine mind reading is that where we combine the Word with the Christ. First we have to establish within ourselves really the Word consciousness through the 7 synonymous term. Then if those 7 synonymous terms become within us a tonality, and no more words but the tonality, therefore spiritual, then we begin to be able to read really through the divine mind, to read the situation. But what does it read? The divine mind does not read mortal mind. The divine mind, and that is important to see, that it reads only its own realm and not the mortal mind. Just a few definitions from the textbook, where Mrs. Eddy says, "Immortal mind reading," comparing it with mortal mind reading. immortal mind reading is what? Is a revelation of divine purpose. See, it reads something within that divine mind, not something that is outside the divine mind. It's a revelation of divine purpose through spiritual understanding. It's through spiritual understanding. It's not just a mystical, magical ability that somebody has. We have, naturally, there are people who have a mystical ability to read thought, or an occult ability to read thought, just as primitive people still have that ability to read thought, especially when one hears about the Aborigines in Australia, that they can read thoughts over great, great distances, that they know, oh, my friend so-and-so is coming to visit me, he will be here in about 3 days or so, they can read it. But that is mortal mind reading. Here we have the ability of divine mind reading. And that reads only the revelation of divine purpose through spiritual understanding. So we need that spiritual understanding. That spiritual understanding, which is the third degree, which we really culture through the culturing of the Christ translation. Through spiritual understanding, by which man gains the divine principle, so he doesn't gain some insight into what people think or act or where they are, we gain insight into the divine principle and the explanation of all things. So what we gain, what we do in the divine mind reading, which is important for healing on the level of Christian Science, we'll come to it later on, it reveals really only mind's own laws, mind's own ideas, and mind's own laws, and mind's own system. It doesn't read anything of the way of sin, sickness, death, or disharmony, or anything, because that is outside the divine mind reading. She says further, it is the illumination of spiritual understanding, again, spiritual understanding, which demonstrates the capacity of soul, capitalized. So it isn't a psychic capacity. The psychics can also read, but they read only mortal mind. The psychics can read our past. They can read what we were doing 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. They can read what I did on the Atlantis, huh? When the Atlantis was still there. They can read what I did when I was in Egypt. They read what I did when I was in Tibet and so on. All that mortal mind stuff, huh? Of tracing back mortal mind to another form, an old form of mortal mind, and a very dangerous thing, something that one has to be aware of, that there is a psychic realm, and that psychic realm is a psychic realm of mortal mind and not of divine mind, and that we better jump off of that roundabout, huh, and get away from that psychic consciousness into the spiritual consciousness. So that is why she says it's the illumination of spiritual understanding, it's not a psychic ability, which demonstrates the capacity of soul, not material sense. This soul sense comes to the human mind, it comes to us, that soul sense, when the latter, the human mind, yields to the divine mind. When it yields to the divine mind. So the more we have the mind of Christ, the more we can read the divine mind. And the divine mind only reads its own ideas and only reads the realm of ideas. So we have to make a clear cut between really divine mind reading and mortal mind reading. I say that because we are living now in a transitionary stage where occultism and necromancy, black magic, white magic, and all that stuff of the psychic, it comes up more and more in the New Age period, where they are trying to bring that up again and use the psychic as a means of investigate one's life, to, what do you say in English, to throw you, to lead you back, what is the term? Yeah, but loud? Retrogress. Regress. Yeah, to regress. You see, that's now very modern, huh? You go to the psychic and you let yourself be regressed into the 17th century, into the 10th century, way back to Egypt, way back to the Atlantis. All this mind stuff, this mortal mind stuff, that psychic mind stuff is the very opposite of Christian Science, which only can read our true identity, our spiritual identity. And therefore, in this age of the new age, which is one of the most dangerous ages, more dangerous than the material age, because it's a wild age, it has no principle, it doesn't go out from a one divine principle, but it goes out from psychic abilities that is given to some people as they don't have it, some train it, some don't train it, no matter what it is, we... Christian Science is not believing in spiritualism, is not believing in psychism, it's believing in spiritual understanding. And so we have to keep our head above that stuff and see that we can read really the human mind with the divine mind, so that the truth about the situation is coming out and not a psychic belief, an old belief that is roaming around in the realm of belief. So that's what is shown here with the woman of Samaria, that she was impressed by the very fact that Jesus was able to read really the divine mind in order to help, in order to lift her out of what? Of a dogma, and give her an understanding. So we have the Christ here exchanges dogmatic belief into scientific spiritual understanding. In this way he gives us 4 points of how the word must be wedded to the Christ. What were those four? First we had Nicodemus that says you have to go out from the spirit. You have to give a new birth. Then the second one that says, and if you give a new birth, you start out from God, and then that descends and ascends, and what you get is always a higher sense of your true individuality. Then in that way, you increase, whereas I, John the Baptist, who does not wed the word to the Christ, must decrease. Without the Christ, the word decreases. And finally, the fourth one of Science says, and through that divine mind reading, through that divine mind translation of immortal mind, you arrive at the point where belief is resolved into understanding. So that we have a method of how to go about in order that the disbelief of the world is weakened and weakened until the true understanding may shine through. All right, tomorrow, this afternoon.